We are joined this morning by attorney Terry Connors of the firm Connors and Velardo in Buffalo. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
All right, so this criminal complaint that we're hearing about against Arafat Naghi says that he pledged allegiance to ISIS, that he was upset over U.S. activities in Yemen. You know, social media, traditional media, it's full of passionate, inflammatory statements. What does the prosecution need to do to prove that Mr. Naghi's statements are part of the efforts to provide, as they say, material support to a terrorist organization?
Well, the charge itself is an interesting charge, and the evolution of that charge has occurred largely because of the increase in terrorist threats since 9/11. And so they've defined the criminal acts of someone to be providing material support and resources to a foreign terrorist organization. So those words aren't common words that you see in the criminal law. So the laws have to be defined even further. And what they have to show really is that this individual attempted to provide himself, that's the material resource and personnel, as an ally, an asset to a foreign terrorist organization. So they look to see circumstantially what were his activities over the past year and a half. Well, what did he say? What did he do? Did he study? Did he purchase tickets? Did he try to recruit people? All of those things have to add up to the definition of material support and resources to a foreign terrorist organization.
You use the word circumstantial, and that's something we've seen in a couple of reports as well. That being stated, this is the United States government with the FBI and other law enforcement behind it doing their due diligence to bring this case forward. On the other side of the coin, what level of work has to be done by a defense attorney to try to give a client like this their due process in court?
Well, it's interesting that the way the case has begun procedurally, there's no indictment yet. He hasn't been actually accused by a grand jury. There's the filing of an extensive affidavit by a special agent of the FBI detailing her investigation over the past year and a half. And in that complaint that lasts a number of pages, they specify certain items that they believe need to be interpreted by the court as probable cause to believe that he was attempting to engage in this criminal activity. So they look to his media posts. They look to his conversations with other people in the community. They look to any threats that he may have made that have been documented. They look to his purchases on the Internet, such as his eBay purchases. And they put all that together and in a calculation that says this equals probable cause to believe a crime has been committed. On the other side of that coin, the defense will say that you don't punish an individual in the United States for words and thoughts. We are permitted by the First Amendment to the Constitution to say just about anything that we are thinking. And we're allowed certainly to think things. And we're allowed to support organizations that are contrary to the United States. We just can't do active work that would support a terrorist organization. So that's where the line will be drawn in the sand. Is this just hyperbole? Is it just someone spouting off with no real intention to do anything about it? Is he talking about items that are controversial and sensational? Or does he really intend to help ISIS? Does he intend to actually recruit people? Does he intend to do things that would further the activities of a foreign terrorist organization that would be illegal? That's where the debate will focus.
And then finally, moving forward to a certain extent, you're not in law enforcement, and this is stepping outside that, but you do follow legal trends, obviously, in your role. Do you see more of these types of arrests moving forward in the years to come?
Well, one thing is for certain, that the federal and state governments have devoted an awful lot of resources to trying to determine if there are any terrorist activities afoot. And that's fine. That's good. That makes us all feel safer and more secure. But generally what happens is that when there is such an economic focus on that particular area of law enforcement, that brings more prosecutions that will uncover and detect activities that then need to be determined by an independent magistrate, by a grand jury, ultimately by a trial jury. Do those acts that have been uncovered, do those words and thoughts constitute a crime? That's the purpose of law enforcement. That's the purpose of the judicial That's the purpose of the juries. It's a situation where all of these segments of law enforcement all work together to determine whether or not a citizen can be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Terry Connors of the firm Connors and Villardo in Buffalo, appreciate the perspective this morning.
My pleasure.